Welcome to On Tap Daily for June 8th, 2026. I'm your host, John, and as always, we've got the latest from across the e-commerce world, what's changing, what it means, and what you should actually do about it. Let's get into it. So over the weekend, a data point landed that I think deserves to be the starting point for everything we talk about today. Cloudflare published new data showing that bots now make up 57% of all web page requests globally. Cloudflare's CEO Matthew Prince had predicted this milestone would arrive in 2027. It arrived 2 years early. And for anyone running an e-commerce store, this isn't some abstract infrastructure stat. It has very real consequences for your costs, your analytics, and your competitive position. Think about what this means practically. If more than half the traffic hitting your store right now is automated, your analytics are distorted. Your bounce rate, your session duration, your conversion rate. All of these are being calculated against a denominator that includes millions of non-human requests, which means your actual human conversion rate is almost certainly better than your dashboard says. Your marketing ROI is being systematically undervalued because you're dividing real revenue by inflated traffic numbers. And then there's the cost side. Every bot request consumes bandwidth, compute cycles, and CDN resources. If you're on usage-based hosting, which many Magento and Shopify Plus merchants are, you're potentially paying for twice the infrastructure you actually need for real customers. This is money that could be going into product development, into marketing, into literally anything more productive than serving responses to scrapers. But here's where it gets interesting, and this connects to another piece Search Engine Land published this week about what they call delegation search. The concept is that users are increasingly outsourcing their purchase decisions to AI. Instead of browsing 10 product pages and comparing options themselves, they're asking ChatGPT or Google's AI Overview or Perplexity to recommend the best product for their needs. And those AI systems need to have crawled and indexed your content in order to recommend you. So you can't just block all bots. You need to be strategic about which bots you allow, which you rate limit, and which you block outright. It's a real paradox, and the merchants who figure out the right balance first will have a genuine competitive advantage. On that note, Google also updated its guidance on third-party SEO tools and services this week, adding explicit language about generative AI optimization for the first time. They made it clear that third-party tools are not endorsed by Google and added new sections about how to evaluate SEO advice in the context of AI-driven search. For e-commerce brands, the practical takeaway is that the old playbook of keyword stuffing and technical SEO tricks is increasingly irrelevant. What matters now is genuine authority, semantic depth in your content, and structured data that AI systems can pass and trust. If your product pages are thin on unique content and rely on manufacturer descriptions, you're going to struggle in an AI-mediated discovery world. Search Engine Land also published a practical piece this week on 4 ways to track AI search visibility when traditional attribution falls short. The core argument is that the path from discovery to purchase is getting harder to track because AI intermediaries don't always pass referral data the way traditional search does. They recommend combining traditional attribution with new signals like brand mention monitoring, direct traffic trend analysis, and structured visibility tracking across AI platforms. For merchants running Google Analytics, this is a real challenge because your direct traffic bucket is increasingly a catch-all for visits that originated from AI recommendations but don't carry proper UTM parameters. Now let me shift to the retail earnings beat because there were some genuinely surprising stories over the past few days. Lululemon slashed its full-year guidance, and the reason is fascinating. CFO and interim co-CEO Megan Frank said that spikes of negative commentary in news and social channels dented both traffic and sales heading into Q2. She was specifically referring to the fallout from Chip Wilson's proxy fight against the brand and a probe by the Texas Attorney General into alleged use of forever chemicals in their products. Revenue was up 4% in Q1 to $2.5 billion but declined 3% in the Americas. They've cut their fiscal guidance from a potential 2-4% revenue gain down to flat or declining revenue. What strikes me about this story is the fragility of brand sentiment in the social media age. Lululemon is a genuinely strong brand with loyal customers and yet sustained negative coverage, not about product quality, not about a data breach, not about anything operational, was enough to materially impact traffic and sales. For every merchant listening, this is a reminder that brand reputation management isn't a nice to have. It's a direct revenue driver. Lululemon is now increasing marketing spend specifically to reset the narrative and investing in community activations to reconnect with customers. On the more optimistic side of retail, Torrid posted Q1 results that exceeded expectations in what should have been a very difficult quarter. Remember, the plus-size market is under particular pressure from the rise of GLP-1 medications. Yet Torrid's strategy of relaunching direct mail campaigns and investing in sub-brands drove a 75% increase in sub-brand sales. CEO Lisa Harper specifically called out a direct mail campaign launched in February that produced, quote, substantive incremental lift in retained and reactivated customers. In a world obsessed with digital channels, Torrid found that putting physical catalogs in mailboxes was one of the most effective acquisition and reactivation tools at their disposal. There's a lesson there about channel diversity and not assuming that what's trendy is always what's effective. Walmart made waves by extending into restaurant delivery through a partnership with Subway. Starting this month, customers can order Subway through Walmart's app and website for express delivery, with plans to expand to about 1,400 locations by end of summer. This is part of a broader trend where the lines between retail and food delivery are blurring. Uber Eats has launched retail returns. DoorDash has partnerships with Foot Locker and Family Dollar. Walmart's first quarter revenue was up 7.3% to $177.8 billion, with global e-commerce sales up 26%. These are staggering numbers, and they show that Walmart's investment in digital infrastructure is paying off at scale. And then Amazon quietly announced a change that every self-fulfilled seller needs to know about. Starting June the 29th, Amazon will begin enforcing accurate handling times for seller-fulfilled SKUs. Their data shows that more than 87% of seller-fulfilled orders in the US are handled within a day, but many sellers set longer handling times as a buffer. Amazon is now going to flag SKUs that are consistently shipped at least one day faster than stated and require sellers to update within 30 days. If you don't update, Amazon will start managing your handling times for you. The incentive is clear. Amazon says every one-day improvement in promised delivery time leads to an average 5% increase in sales. So this isn't just a compliance requirement, it's a revenue opportunity. If you're a self-fulfilled seller and you've been padding your handling times, tighten them up before June 29th. On the partner side, there was a notable release from the Hoover ecosystem. They shipped version 1.0 of a new module called Magento 2 Legacy Modal Compatibility. If you're not deep in the Magento world, here's why this matters. Hoover replaces Magento's heavy jQuery and Knockout JS front-end with lightweight Alpine JS, which dramatically improves performance. But that means any third-party extension that uses legacy jQuery-based modal dialogues, and there are a lot of them, breaks on a Hoover storefront. This new module provides a compatibility shim that intercepts those legacy modal calls and translates them into Hoover-native equivalents. It's a framework-level solution to what has been one of the biggest practical barriers to Hoover adoption. If you've been evaluating Hoover but held off because of extension compatibility concerns, this is a good moment to reassess. The Mage Dispatch newsletter this week also highlighted several practical tools worth knowing about: a cache debounce module for preventing cache stampedes during high-traffic events, the Panth malware scanner for file integrity monitoring, the Trojan Order Prevent module for blocking fake order attacks, and an email template editor with live preview and scheduling. These aren't glamorous, but they're the kind of operational infrastructure that keeps stores secure and running smoothly. Let me bring this all together with what I think is the overarching theme of the past few days. It's about navigating a world where the intermediaries between you and your customers are multiplying and becoming more automated. 57% of your web traffic is now bots. AI systems are increasingly mediating purchase decisions on behalf of consumers. Amazon is automating handling time enforcement. Brand sentiment can be shaped or damaged by algorithmic amplification of news and social commentary. Torrid's direct mail success reminds us that sometimes the most effective channels are the ones that bypass digital intermediaries entirely and put your message directly in the customer's hands. The merchants who thrive in this environment won't be the ones who try to fight the automation. They'll be the ones who understand which intermediaries to work with, which to manage, and which to route around entirely. That requires clarity about your brand, your data, and your customer relationships, the assets that no bot can scrape and no algorithm can replicate. That's your OnTap Daily for June 8th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce, you can find us at ontapgroup.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep building.